Well, there's a baby in the room, guys.
Yep.
Whoa, okay, Anna, I understand you don't like Kamen Rider Drive, but you don't need to insult it that much, okay? That hurts me. That really hurts me.
I know Mega Man is hard, but you don't need to chew on the NES controller. It's not going to make you a better gamer.
No, I know Drive is based off of a car. I know I don't like cars, but Drive was really cool, and he's good.
Welcome to another episode of Radio Sentai Cast Stranger.
Wait, we didn't cue the roll call. Cue the roll call!
We're live!
Zenkai Gan!
Connect.
Loading.
Broadcast.
Watching all the anime. Redcaster. Joe Raven.
Equipment Wheeler. Bluecaster. Cheetah Zazil.
Loyal and Loud. Redcaster Lay.
One Little Spark of Courage. Dreamcaster. Global South Perka.
Indigo Caster.
Broadcasting loud and opinionated perspectives across the internet.
Radio Sentai Cast Ranger.
On air!
Alright, we're good. Welcome to episode 178, I think.
Yes.
Yeah, I did it.
That's because I just had it on screen!
Actually, I wasn't looking. I just guessed it. Yay, go me. So if you haven't realized, we have a baby.
Yep.
It's Raven's baby. Yeah. It's Indigo Cast.
Look, you're like, we have a baby. Like, we as Cast Ranger have a baby.
You were probably wondering why there was a baby in the roll call.
So, if you didn't listen extra, Gar is busy working. Raven materialized with child in hand.
Yep.
And Emily is joining us over Discord today.
Hi. And everyone else saw Star Wars.
Yes, we did see Star Wars The Last Jedi. Me, Ichi, and Gar did, and it was amazing.
So good.
It was a very good experience. I enjoyed it thoroughly.
And instead of Pepsi, today I have my own full bottle. So, yeah. Those are things that happened. So, this week we are talking about Kamen Rider Build, episode 14.
Whoa!
Q Ranger, episode 41. Is that just the thing you do now? Just react each episode in a noise?
Yeah.
And finishing up our Decassember 3 is the Gavan versus Decker Ranger movie.
Woo! Which I unfortunately did not have time to watch.
And neither did I.
So I'm.
Anna did.
Apparently, she has a lot to say about it.
Before the feature topic.
No, you can still be here and just react to what we're saying, unless you want to watch the movie.
Watch the movie while we're talking about it.
So, before we get into the discussion, I wanted to bring up something I came up with this week on the Kamen Rider Facebook that I think is something the fandom should consider.
Okay.
Oh, so, cool.
There's been a lot of discussion about characters like Bloodstark, Night Rogue, Shadow Moon, Machine Chaser. Characters that are transforming, but aren't technically Kamen Riders because they don't call themselves Kamen Riders. There's been a lot of debate in the fandom about what to categorize them as, and I, this week, came up with a term that I think could be a really good descriptor. We should call them Rider-likes.
That's not bad.
As in, Bloodstark is my favorite Rider-like.
And Night Rogue is mine.
So I just wanted to share that with all of our listeners. Hopefully you will adopt that as the category for such characters.
I mean, I like it. It's cool. So,
I mean, there are cure likes, too, and they don't really call them anything, either.
Right? It's always been a thing. Like, yeah. Me being Mr. Belt Mechanics, I always like to have labels on stuff. So.
And there are, like, non-Ultraman heroes, so.
Call them Ultra likes.
We have Shiny Luminous, who has the best worst name ever. And Milky Rose, who's also pretty close, and neither of those are technically have cure in their name, but they're also cures. It's weird.
Alright, so let's get into Build!
Be the one, be the light, message of the
Oh.
This show is so smart with its recaps. Do I really have to do the recap while running?
God damn it. But just, holy shit, Bill! You're so fucking good!
This episode was pretty...
This was a really, really good episode.
This is the best episode so far!
This is the kind of plot and character drop...
And it was funny, and it was informative.
Yeah, like, my God.
These are the kind of plot and character drops that usually happen late game, and we're getting them in episode 14.
Like, damn.
So, yeah. Soichi's Bloodstark, as if we didn't already know that for a fact. And we finally get to see him henching into Bloodstark, and it's so cool. He actually, like, points his gun down.
And puts it out and then, like, kind of, like, fires it up.
And then the smoke rises.
Yep.
And you see him, like, swap into his Bloodstark voice because he's like, oh, maybe you prefer this voice,
yeah,
Batman.
Like, he was just, like, fucking with him. And I'm just like, wow, you're a dick, Soichi, Jesus Christ.
Maybe it's easier to hate me if I use this voice, Batman.
It was interesting that Sento, he, like, went Octopus-like because he's like, yeah, you still don't know a lot about this form, so, like, ugh.
I hate Octopus!
My first thought was when I killed your brother, I talked just like this.
I love
it. Woo!
So, Soichi obviously, kicks Sento's ass because he's just like, yeah, I'm still better than you.
Well, it's more like he uses a cheap shot and, grabs the Pandora's box and uses Flash, Pokemon move.
And somehow that actually, made a Pandora's, I'm going to call it, a Pandora box bottle.
Or just Pandora bottle.
Yeah, so, it was a bottle that has the essence of the Pandora's box in it. So it's, more powerful than a normal, bottle.
Yeah, but he can't use it, and purifying it probably won't do shit, because it's not the usual stuff.
So he came to the...
I never thought about that! He actually produced a usable item without using Misora.
Yeah,
well, it's... The way I look at it is, usually it's the Smash Essence, which isn't technically... I mean, I guess indirectly from the Pandora's box. It's resulting from
the rabbit and Tanko, so it's already purified.
So, here we have... He just got energy straight from the box. It collected itself into a bottle, but it's not the usual Smash Essence, so it's not going to do anything on its own.
Yeah.
So he mixed two already purified Smash Essences into it.
Yeah. But yeah, when Stark pulls out the cube and uses Flash, and it's super effective, was the joke that I thought of while watching that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, he bails, and Sento is, left there in the street. He took my bottles! And then he, pounds his hands on the pavement. No, he broke my hand!
Because Legend lives on.
Oh,
So now I'm curious if, in the next... Starting next week, they'll, remove Soichi from the opening where they're, doing the little jump in the cafe.
Yeah, because, it just... I don't know.
Be a little weird at that point.
I feel like the arc... This episode really, completed the arc between Sento and...
Yeah. So I think... And Soichi. One of the smart things I think they did... The only real reason we were at this point going... Okay, yeah, but if he's Stark, why did he save Misora?
Mm-hmm.
And then Banjo is sitting there, and Misora basically explained it without realizing she was explaining it.
Well, she explains half of it, but she didn't know the whole reason, which
Soichi
knows.
But she informed him, oh, yeah, I was at the end of my time there, I wasn't able to purify the bottles anymore because,
she realized they were being used for evil. So
mental block. And so they couldn't force her, and torture wouldn't do anything.
So they hatched a fake plan to
have her rescued and use her powers for good, even though she was still doing exactly what they... Fuck.
And I'm just like, Soichi, you motherfucker. God damn.
So the entire show up until this point has been the game that Bloodstark has been mastering.
Exactly.
So everyone's just entirely wrong.
Yeah. So everyone was just his pawns in his own little personal game he was playing. So,
It was so interesting to hear all that just get explained.
But it's cool, like, Sento was just, like, he was really on point with, like, planning all this stuff. So he's like, okay, I have this bottle that's infused with, like, essence from the Pandora box. I'm gonna use this to, like, make a new power that, like, Soichi won't expect to do. And what was awesome was he, like, faked Soichi out.
But he needs to figure out which the best match is.
Yeah, and so, like, we get, like... They try, like, Diamond and Gorilla, and, like, he gets Diamond shot, because, like, Ryuga keeps trying them, and then, like, he gets Diamonds, like, flown at him, and gets exploded when they try Rocket Panda, and...
I'm just surprised that Sento, being big Mr. Smarty Pants, didn't try Rabbit Tank first, but then I guess we wouldn't have gotten that funny scene.
It reminded me of the Timon and Pumbaa standby.
Huh?
Sorry, this weird thing where Timon is singing the song Stand By Me, and in the background, Pumbaa is constantly getting injured.
Oh.
I think I remember that.
Me too.
Various things are, like, falling on him, and he's just constantly getting injured. And it reminded me of that for some reason.
But yeah, now that the whole Soichi being Bloodstark thing is out, my immediate thought went back to, why, oh, why did we believe him when he said he wasn't a Faust agent?
Right! Yeah, I'm like, Ishii, technically you were right the whole time.
Yeah.
Just, hey, we believe you because...
Because your coffee's terrible.
Because coffee.
And also, this explains the whole turning a tablet into a crowbar thing from the end of episode 1.
Right.
Wow.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
Had powers.
What we don't have an explanation for yet is why these 20 bottles constitute, quote-unquote, all the bottles. Which, especially since we know for a fact that there are more bottles.
Well, you said that these ones were the plot bottles.
The frigging Twitter screenshots that just got posted by FaZe. If I'm right, then Stark's whole thing of I don't take orders becomes terrible wordplay because his cafe is abandoned!
And his coffee sucks!
So he's right, he doesn't take orders because nobody comes in.
Wow.
Damn it.
That's CHACE Ryder on Twitter who posted that, I think, if I'm reading that right.
God damn it, Soichi, you fucker.
Wow. There were clues the whole show!
I love how smart Sento is. Like, he outsmarted Soichi by making fake full bottles, and so, like, he brings them to Nambo, whatever, like that, and then just you hear,
so
mismatch!
Mismatch!
And he has, like, little flags that
little
pop up out of the caps.
Yeah.
With his face on him.
And
Soichi's
great. Just like, you clever bitch. And
it
then...
reminds me of the Auron lock.
Oh, yeah.
Never
give up!
That's great. And so
I
then,
have that.
So then, yeah, so he outsmarts Soichi with making fake bottles, gets Sawa to, like, get some background shit.
Sawa, do a spy, please!
Yeah, get some background information
right.
on Soichi, which...
Hey, Sawa, you're a spy.
Do
a spy.
Do a spy.
And she got a lot. Like, apparently, like, Soichi, like...
I kind of love that they've relegated her to being the perfect excuse for how they're just able to obtain all sorts of knowledge. She's a spy. She can figure shit out. Okay, she's not Rouge the Bat.
So then they're, like, trying to not, like... So they're trying not to, like, have Misora be in the build pit, like, while he's developing the sparkling...
They literally put
thing.
A sign on the fridge saying, no Misoras allowed.
Yeah, and then, like...
She doesn't sleep on the counter.
And
I love that. Just,
go ahead,
sleep!
Sleep!
Bam!
Yeah.
And then, like,
if I can't go down there to sleep, I'll just sleep here.
I just, like, I see that sign that says no Misoras allowed, and my brain immediately goes, it says no Misoras! We're allowed to have one!
And then, so then, like, she finally gets down or whatever, and then they're like, okay, we gotta distract her, and it's like, oh, Ryuga wants to go on a date with you. What? Ryuga's like, what? So they don't do this thing where just, like, they're, like, making, like, playing charades with each other, with, like, by talking, it's like, it's like, quickly, go on a date. No, I don't want to. I'll give you a banana. Oh, yeah, sure. No.
Fuck
I'll put protein in it.
No, I'll give you protein
give
also.
Protein. Deal.
Yeah, he just thumbs up.
And then just Ryuga goes
confirming
up to her.
Confirming that Ryuga is officially a prostitute.
And then Ryuga just goes up to Misora. I want to go on a date with you. And she's like,
I just love her. He grabs her and she just like goes into the Dreamweaver fucking mode.
Ready.
No, the way her like head just like swerves over, her hair just like flows back and forth, and just like
And then he literally carts her out like she's got her on a dolly.
And Sento's like, good job!
Oh no! Tomisawa on the dolly! God.
And then they go karaoke and...
She's terrible.
Misora's mad at it. And then, like, yeah, Ryuga just, like, asks her, like, seriously, it's like, why do you, like, why did you purify the bottles? And it's like, well, because...
I don't like this because I ship Sento and Misora.
No. I ship Ryuga and Misora very much. Even though, I understand because, you know, Ryuga still kind of, like, has a thing for his dead girlfriend. She's dead, so.
I totally just ship Sento and science. I don't think that man is capable of loving anybody else.
This is super terrible, but my first thought was, yeah, that is, you already know that science gives him a hard on.
Right?
You're not wrong. Gives him a hair on.
Yeah, exactly.
He hasn't done that in a while.
I know, it's boop. Bad.
So then, like, he's developing the sparkling or whatever still, and then, like, yeah, Soichi, like, calls him, and I love he just, like,
starts... Literally just calls him up on the phone!
No, but I love that just, he's like...
Hey, asshole.
He's like, what the fuck do you want? And he's like, whoa, come on, be more nice. And he's like, no.
And it's like, come on.
So he's like, hey, remember the place where I found you? And then hangs up.
Let's go hang out there for maximum drama.
And just, this is where the episode just, like...
And then the plot rain starts.
And then the plot rain.
Hey, remember where I found you?
Yeah, we still don't know the whole story behind that.
Like, yeah, he placed him there.
Something happened there.
He placed him there!
No, or did he?
We'll see.
Or did shit happen and he just saw a chance to do something?
Sento is Katsuragi. It's like, I know it, you know he is.
Right?
Well, it looks like we'll probably find out this weekend.
Yep.
So, plot rain, the umbrellas are tossed aside, and we get what is absolutely a new entry in my favorite henshins of all time list. God,
yes. I mean, it was really good.
Was that the sound? It was just the sound of the rain?
Yes. Yes. Oh. Like, just the sound. It's like the right. Cool. The creators of the show sat there and went, hey, you know what? We spent this whole episode building the dramatic tension for this. Let's not ruin it with the comedic sound effects.
Mm-hmm.
No, it was great, and it's just like, it's in the back of the alley, and you just see them in the distance, and they both just transform.
And it's blurred out, too. Oh, it's so good.
Yeah, like, me and Ichi had to, like, play it back, like, two more times, because it was so good.
Stop dropping your toy.
And just, they start fighting, and, like, you just notice that, like, Sento, he just, like, he doesn't want to do it. He, like, doesn't want to fight him, and, like, you see him on the ground ever, and he's just like, I can't fight you. You gave me a name. You gave me a new life. You gave me a purpose. And, like, just all knowing...
You,
like,
are my father!
No, and, like, no, and I, like, I teared up in this... Oh, sorry. Teared up in this scene just because, like, everything Sento knew. And, like, even asked him, he's like, was all of it a lie? Like, the moments we had together. And just,
yeah,
so he turns on to him, he's like,
there were moments,
not all of them.
There were moments I felt bad for fooling the you fuckers.
Yeah, there were moments where, like, you know, you guys impressed me. And just... Aww.
Oh.
I know, you didn't like Soichi lying to Sento either.
I know.
That's mean. He's a dick.
Okay. Yeah, she's good.
She just wanted her chew toy. And it was just... Oh, it was just such good. Like, it was... It's just great because, like, you know, we have this relationship between these two and just... Sento is just, everything he knows about him is just, like, a lie, and he feels so betrayed, and it was just so well done.
And just as Soichi's about to finish him off, in comes the beat closer from stage right.
Yeah, and Ryuga just overhears, like, Sento saying, like, I don't want to fight,
he
I don't
just,
want to fight you. And Ryuga's just like, alright, I'll kick your ass then.
I want to fight you.
Yeah, he's like, if Sento will kick your ass, I will for him.
It's like,
I fucking will!
Runs in. You know what? He might not want to fight you, but I'm fucking pissed after the conversation I just had with Misora.
And...
I'm not even mad about you framing me right now!
And then, like, he gets his ass handed to him, because, like...
Immediately!
Yeah,
like, one shot!
Because he's still, like, hazard level 3, so, like, you know...
That said, we don't know what the actual level of the trans steam users is, but it's probably, like, at least 10?
I'd say, like, an 8... I'd say a solid 11 out of 5. And yeah, and then just Sento decides, you know what? I don't want to fight you, but I need to if...
No, the reason he gets up and fights is because Bloodstark reveals the reason for everything.
Yeah.
He reveals that he only made him build so Misora would have a reason to justify purifying the bottles. And that just changes the entire show up until now has had its context changed. And that just fuels the fire, or should I say the liquid, and thus he pulls a giant pop can out of his giant coat. It's the sparkling bottle.
Yeah, like, Ichigo was making, like, when he, like, has the build phone, he's just like, why is he, like, how does he, like, bring that everywhere with him? And I'm like, why do you think he wears a big coat?
Yeah, because, like, that phone doesn't look like it fits in the pocket. He keeps the bell
driver, his bottles, and his phone on him at all times, so that's why he wears such a giant coat.
His coat is the TARDIS.
Yeah. And Ichigo was just looking at him, he's like, that's a good point.
I mean, that makes as much sense as anyone else, if not more.
Yeah, a lot of writers have that thing going where it's Hammer just like, you pull my gimmick item out of nowhere.
My favorite user of that trope is Nago from Ixa, where he'd literally pull the entire belt out of his pocket.
Pretty much.
And then we get Rabbit Tank sparkling, and just... Oh.
I love that the frame for that form, when he was transforming, was shaped like a pop can, and also the build emblem.
Yep.
When it closed in.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so good.
And the form's just... It's so cool. It's so nice. So gorgeous.
I really like it.
And, he has, like, this really, like, kind of, like, flash step kind of speed.
And he attacks with the bottles fucking everywhere. Bubbles!
Yeah. So, like, he proceeds to, like, kick Bloodstark's ass, like, super, super hard. And then, like, he uses his, like, vortex
sparkling finish.
Yeah, sparkling finish.
But before that, I just love that it's, like, Stark's like, oh, yeah, well... Eat two snakes!
Yeah, to eat two Venosnakers!
Right?
And Bill defensively is like, get these shits out of here!
Right? And he, like, flips the table and is like, oh shit, I think I'm in trouble.
Everyone knows snakes are weak to bubbles!
The sparkling finish reminded me of those tornado in a bottle science project.
I think that was the idea, because
I was wondering if that was intentional or not.
Yeah.
So,
you know when you, like, take two pop bottles and, like, you tape them in the middle and...
That was a good point because all of his Usatsu are based on like scientific formulas. So,
what's interesting is Shadowcaster is making a complaint because he's like, his Hisatsu was like just bubbles. He attacked him with bubbles, and my reply to him was because Sento was holding back.
Now, if we had gotten like as he was in the air, if we had like seen a close up on his helmet and he had just like looked a lot to the side a little bit. I would completely agree with you, but I don't know.
No, that's my own belief. It's like,
I mean, it's definitely...
He could kick through that vortex, but he decided not to.
You know what? I'll agree with you on that count.
Yeah, so he was holding back because even though he hates Soichi for just lying to him and everything, and still he still sees him as a bit of a friend, so he held back, and then...
So even though he didn't kick him, he shot all of the bubbles, which made Bloodstark pop. Lol.
And then he just decides, hey, Gentoku's Night Robe. Have fun with that. Bye. And then
launches himself into the air on Henshin.
I was like, oh.
Yeah, I was wondering what that was all about.
Maybe he was the source of the rabbit bottle.
I know, you can't believe he jumped either, huh? I can't believe he jumped.
But he did mention something else. He says that the important thing is their growth. Which means he's absolutely not done yet. There's still more going on.
Yeah, so, like... But I feel like we're gonna see the end of Soichi very soon. Because he's either gonna go by Gentoku's hands or Sento's hands. That's my belief.
Well, I mean, Gentoku has no more reason to be working with him since Stark snookered him out of the deal with Nanba.
Exactly. So I feel like where he's just gonna, like, pull... Throwing a rogue out of his ass somewhere, or somehow.
I don't know, I kind of think that maybe he'll just be like an ongoing general. But, I mean, I could see it going either way.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of hope he doesn't die, because I like him even more now.
But, yeah, I know, right?
But we're almost at Christmas, and Christmas is the time for my favorite characters to die.
I know, I'm like, oh god, next week, just the episode, like after this episode 14, like just, or 15.
We need to remember what happened last Christmas.
Yeah.
Hashtag Kiri Day.
So next week, confronting Gentoku about being Night Rogue, and it looked like something about Sento's identity.
Ooh.
Are we going to get the Sento is Takumi reveal?
It's there. He's Katsuragi. He has to be.
I mean, we've been right plenty before, so we'll see what happens.
Keep it up, Bill. You're doing so good. You're doing so good. Never have I, like, just thought so hard about a writer show and everything.
You're in your time!
You're so lucky!
So, I think there was only one Yoshilucky this week.
Yeah, and just...
Which brings our count to 287.
Honestly, this episode was boring.
There really wasn't much to it.
There wasn't really anything that just wowed me, and, like, just... I honestly, like, I'm sorry, but I just don't... I don't have much to say with this episode.
This is very much
Remember when we called that there'd be some kind of Star Wars-y I Am Your Father reveal somewhere?
Well,
we ended up getting one.
Maybe they did this on purpose because of the Star Wars release.
For fuck's sake. No, so, okay, the twist in this episode was, there's this, like, samurai dude who works for Dark Matter. And,
they
like,
don't even name, by the way.
Yeah, and we find out, it's Aslan.
See, during the last episode, during the preview for this, when Garo was the one who was most... Yeah, Garo was, like, the one who was, like, most talking during the preview, and it was all, like, no, you can't face him. No, he's too strong. And I'm just thinking, is this the guy who massacred Garo's planet?
Oh.
Was my thought in the preview, but no, it was just shown to end up being, no, Garo just got his ass kicked by him ahead of time.
Yeah.
Lucky you can't face him, because I figured out who he is.
I like that this episode was basically the suicide mission from Mass Effect 2.
Yeah.
But they, like, they pulled a Dogold from Kyoruger with Aslan. Like, he's a guy trapped in a monster suit.
Except the suit is not sentient, it's being puppeteered by Don Armage.
Yeah, but I'm just like, oh my god. But, like, just...
So it's less exciting.
Like, I'm even looking at, like, the notes and everything, and I'm just looking, I'm like, just... I don't know, there wasn't anything I enjoyed about this episode that much. Like, I loved the filler episodes we had before way more.
Although
we got the whole Scarlet Witch mind.
Yeah, like they showed like Tsurugi like seeing Cuervo get killed and he was like super upset about it, and then like everyone's freaking out in their own way, like Naga apparently seeing like Balance die or something like that, and I'm like, oh my god.
What is worth mentioning is the monster who caused these illusions, even I picked up on the fact that he was very obviously a reference to Black Cross King, the villain from Go Ranger.
Yep.
Which means we have two episodes in a row that are Go Ranger references. Because last week they did the hurricane.
Yep.
But It's the Karo of the Crux system, Southern King. I get it, because the name of the planet is Southern Cross.
Yep.
But, so we literally devolve into a join me, my son, and we will rule the galaxy moment between Lucky and Aslan.
No!
Pretty much.
You're not my real dad!
I just can't believe that we've seen... This is, like, not the first time we're getting a fake father scene.
My first fake dad was Sand!
Immediately followed by, it's your actual dad.
He was coarse and irritating, and he got everywhere!
Oh, my God.
I mean,
oh, my God, yes.
I mean, I'm still ready for this version of Aslan to be fake also.
Right.
I mean, who the hell knows?
I swear to God, if his real form is like a lion, I'm gonna be pissed.
Ride me!
See,
he'll turn into the final Lion Zord upgrade!
See, what I was saying with this episode is, and I said this to Itchy when I finished watching it, holy shit, I'm just surprised at this 40 episodes into the series, the Orion Battler hasn't combined with anything.
Yeah, right?
It's because Orion's fucking powerful.
Oh,
right? But usually at this point, the freaking Ultra Zord has freaking combined with everything.
Maybe they're actually saving it for the last fight.
Maybe. I would be surprised if they actually waited for it that long.
It wouldn't be the first Sentai that had an exclusive combination for exclusively the final fight, because Shinkendra did that.
Fair.
Kyoryu Hao was only during the final fight.
So, yeah, next week, three generals are back, and...
Because they don't die, apparently. It,
on the interest of theming the week, Lucky also had a moment where he banged the rail, and now he broke my hand!
Yeah.
And next week on Q Ranger, the three generals pull a Day of the Tentacle.
Okay.
Come back in one body.
Oh.
Oh. So we have Robot Dick Cool Taco.
Cool Robot Dickba. I don't... No, Cool Robot Dick Guy. I don't know. I'll come up with a better name by next week.
There you go. So,
there's
yeah.
There's your homework assignment, Cast Ranger fans. Help me come up with an amalgamation of a Kyanba, Cool Guy, and Robot Dick to name this thing.
Wow, well, I think that was the shortest discussion we've ever had about, like, a Sentai episode.
Because nothing really happened.
Exactly! Like, god damn, this episode was boring.
They raided the planet, got lost in illusions, and...
happened, but also nothing.
Yeah, this is like... Mm. We literally... Somebody just said Dickbot.
Dickbot.
Oh Lion, oh Ryan.
Oh Lion, my Ryan.
Oh Lion, no. Oh Ryan, oh Ryan.
Okay.
Another feature topic.
And in between sections, our friends Dreamcaster and Redcaster have gone on side quests. So it's just Lena and I now.
Yeah. Emily's tired and Raven had to go.
Father.
Go father. Oh, father. So our feature topic for this week in the end of Deca Summer 3 is the Gavan versus the Deca Ranger Space Squad movie. And, boy, was it fun.
A discussion that has been built up to on our end for quite some time, and I'm kind of sad it's just us two.
Yeah. Oh, well.
So... Just like with Girls in Trouble, the Toei logo appears with an Ippitsoujo effect to it.
Yep.
And Sho Lanpo's voice is again doing the narration.
Yep, and then we find out about the Genmaku, or like 12 criminal organizations, and then there's like the Galactic Federation.
That sounds like fodder for an entire franchise!
And then there's like the Galactic Federation.
Which is apparently a section of the Space Police.
Mm-hmm. And then we get, we start with, like, Geki and Shelly.
On planet Skibeta.
Skibeta.
Skibodle!
So they, like, hear about, I guess, like, a deal that's going down or something, and then...
It turns out it was a tarp.
Yep. And we get introduced to our villain in the movie, Mad Gallant. And he's fucking cool.
We did see a bit of him last week, and his design is so awesome.
Yeah, and he has, like, one of the coolest... fucking names for, like, a Kisatsu slash attack.
Mad Galactic.
Yeah, even though he says it, it's fucking awesome. Just Mad Galactic!
And our other villain for this movie is, Dr. Doom, a.k.a. Cronin.
From the planet Berg.
You fucks!
God damn it, Toei, and your fucking puns.
Then again, this is from Deca Ranger, which also had Tyler from the planet Durden.
God damn it. Yeah, so then, Shelly gets, like, shot up, shot, and then gets, like, taken away, and so, like, Geki thinks, like, she's dead, so he kind of, and he gets, like, slashed up, fucked up pretty badly by Mad Gallant, and then, like, he tries to, like, go finish the case, whatever, but the director Sophie's like, no, you're not...
You're off the case! Yeah. You're a hothead!
Yeah, well, no, she was also, you're injured, so you can't
also
really do
that.
Anything. When you get back to 100%, then we'll talk.
So, because of a carefully orchestrated scheme, Geki stumbles over the existence of the Deca Rangers. Specifically, Jasmine. Jasmine is an Esper who can...
I'm just gonna get over this right now. They did the Esper one, they did the Deca Metal explanation, and they did the fucking Gavan transformation explanation. I get it. It is the tropes of both these series, and, like, but still, like, come on.
Give us some credit.
We know. We know about them. We know what the transformation's like.
That said, it was very cool seeing all the transformations from the outer perspective, like we did with Yellow and Pink on the Girls in Trouble special.
Yeah, and, like, we cut to, like, Deca Break or whatever like that. He's
chasing a vampire in a fucking leather coat. Through a parking garage.
Yeah, because there's, like, cases of, like, people getting, like...
Their blood drained.
Their blood sucked out completely, and then they're all dried up, and... So they're like, okay, it's obviously a work of space vampires.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, this is happening at the same time as Sen and Umeko's wedding.
Sen-chan. It's called Sen-chan. Yeah, and so, like, they're about to get married and stuff, and Doggy's there. Like, everyone's there.
Doggy's giving her away.
And so then, freaking Hoshi's, like, he finds out, like, Bon Bon can't make it, so he's just like, God damn it.
And he actually says the word God damn it. I was just like, whoa!
Well, yeah, because Hoshi's thing is he says English words, yeah. So... and, like, yeah, Tetsu's, like, pissed off he can't make it to the wedding or whatever like that. And, like, Swan's just like, oh, they're, like, the other team's, like, 10 meters, like...
10 meters away until they get married.
Until the target.
While Tetsu is beating the shit out of this vampire chipmunk motherfucker.
Yeah, he was really weird. And then just, you know, they're about to get married, they're about to kiss, whatever like that, and then Geki fucking interrupts and he's like, oh,
you're I am jerked!
Yeah, you're the Deco Rangers, right? I need your help, let's go. And then, like, Umeko's just like, oh, for fuck's sake, well, then I'm coming too, we're all going. And Senshin's like, but, our wedding!
I like how the fucking microphone monster dude was in the wedding party.
Yeah, no, that was cool. That was or nice
he was in
cameo.
in the stands.
Yeah, and so, like, they all get back into their uniforms, except for Umeko. She's still in her
She hangs
dress.
Around in her wedding dress for way too long.
Yeah, and just...
Just to rub it in.
Yeah. And, like, she's like, oh, it's better be good, like, blah, 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 blah. And Senshin's just like, oh, but our wedding, like, we're supposed to get married.
So they chase down Cronin, who, like, shoots slugs. Ha ha ha.
But he didn't mean to. Like, he shot them, and then he's like, oh, fuck, I'm getting rusty. I didn't mean to shoot
Shit,
those.
Wrong ammo.
Yeah, and then he just started shooting real bullets.
And he actually, like, clicks clips of bullets into his hand, which transforms into a literal finger gun.
Finger bang bang you into my life.
Wow. Amazing. And yeah, we get to see Benny Kiba again, the weird ninja Kunoichi lady who was in Girls in Trouble.
Former space sheriff, yeah.
Evidently. And I just love every time they salute Fumain, because my brain always defaults to, for Zoltan!
No, for me it's, Hail Screw! From fucking Spaceballs, just... So. God, like, we just watched this movie, like, a couple days ago.
Yeah. I just love the one scene where, like, they're fighting and Jasmine takes time out to explain that Deca Ranger doesn't just mean police, it's also Deca for 10, it's Greek for 10, because Deca, which means that we're 10 times strong. Ha!
I'm just like, oh
you
Jasmine.
You really fucking reached for that one.
Yeah, wow. And, like, I like Matt Gallant's, like, henching device. It's called, like,
the Masker Blade.
The Masker Blade. So it's like this, it's like a mask, but it's also in the shape of, like, a hilt of a sword. And so you just, like, you put it up to your face, and then...
He transforms, like, the fucking Sun King from White Knight Chronicles.
Yeah.
Verto.
So, like, there's also this, like, stupid commercial, whatever, for, like, diapers and, like, jazz.
Which ends up being the fucking passcode to the secret base portal.
Yeah, no, but then also, like, they're in their secret meeting room or whatever like that, talking about stuff, and, you said, like, it was the same room from episode 13 and Build? Like, with the...
Oh, yeah, 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 when the Deca Rangers go to their base, which is literally just the helmet of the Deca base robo, the room inside where they're conducting their investigation is the same set from episode 13 of Build, where Stark was sitting with the Pandora box.
Yep, and then, like, they're talking about something, and then Jasmine's like, oh, right! Honey, can you get more diapers? Thanks. It's like, wait, what are diapers? Oh, no, you guys are talking about reminding me I need to get diapers. I'm like, oh. Because they thought, like, oh, because you're an Esper, like, you knew that your husband needed to get diapers? And it's like, no.
There was one scene earlier where, like, Gavan is fighting Gallant, and he's like, this laser blade is my soul! And Gallant effectively responds with, well, your soul sucks! Snaps it in half.
Yeah, and, like, Geki's really upset about it, too, because, like, Ichimonji Retsu gave it to him, the original Gavan, and so it was, like, his, like, it wasn't, because, like, later on, like, Retsu gives him his laser blade.
The old one.
Yeah, which, that was really cool.
But the whole, like, sword being your soul thing, I kind of expected that to be a more actual thing instead of symbolic, but
No, I like that it's more symbolic.
Which is
sense.
Fine, but, like, they trotted out the phrase about it being their soul so much that I'm like, is it actually connected to their soul somehow, or are they just bullshitting because they're loud, proud men?
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, that was the case.
So then, like, Geki and them find out, like, oh, we should go to the actual, like, diaper company, like, the Smile Good Company or something?
Smile and Gentleness.
Yeah, the Smile and Gentleness.
Everyday Young Life Junesu.
There you go. And they meet the president, Lars, who...
Doesn't have a last name.
Yeah, who, spoilers, is Mad Gallant.
Shocking absolutely everybody.
And, my God, this guy literally is, like, the second coming of Dan Caroto. Like, my fucking God. This guy, like, I swear, just Dan Caroto's actor could have played Lars in this movie, and it would have been the exact same fucking performance, even better. Because he just, like, was going full, like, batshit crazy and laughing hysterically and doing weird fucking head movements and moving his body around all weirdly, and he was just like fucking insane, like goddamn.
Well, yeah, one thing about when they first met Lars and his secretary in the office, like, I didn't find Benny Kiba attractive, but when she was disguised as the secretary, Jesus fucking Christ.
Mm-hmm.
If I could wolf whistle, I would.
Yeah, I know, and, like, and then, like, at one point, like, Lars is just like, yeah, fuck you guys for making me have to be, like, act really shitty, like, being, like, a shitty actor.
So we discover that all of the victims that that Lars and Mad Gallant and Benny Kiba are kidnapping are specifically people who have latent transformation abilities, which is why they grab Shelly, because apparently they need to harvest a certain element in their blood, whose name I did not write down, in order to bring to life the giant enemy robot called Satan Goth. That has to be from the old show, because there's no way they came up with something that stupid.
And the best part was, like, each year was so looking forward to,
like,
seeing
it looked
guy.
So cool. It was like some sort of, like, Galactus robot or, like, Megatron or something. And they actually get it alive, and then Bon Bon comes in and fucking one-shots it immediately!
Yeah! Like, I'm sorry, like, we're cutting super way ahead, but just, like, Ichi just sees it, like, grow or whatever, and, like, come back, and he's like, yeah! And just, Bon Bon's like, alright, I'm just gonna take Super Dekarobo, turn it into gun mode, and, like, virtual,
like augmented,
like,
reality,
augmented
control,
reality
it.
Control it. And you see, like, a giant hologram of, like, Deka Red just firing the gun. Literally one-shots, and Ichi was just like,
no!
He's like, yeah!
I wanted to see Satan God!
No, thank fucking God. I'm glad that was just over as fast as it was. That was super satisfying and great, and it was, oh, man.
Oh, I also like the scene where, like, they actually, Jasmine manages to arrest Benny Kiba, and she, without a single moment of hesitation, chops her fucking hand off! Holy shit!
Yeah, like, Jasmine tries to handcuff her, and she's just like, yeah, lol, nope, and then, like, uses this, like,
Ninpo to get her hand back on.
And, like, it was actually, like, painful for her, too, because, like, you see her, like...
Well, yeah, she's gotta reconnect her nerves.
Yeah, and she's like, And then, like, so then, like, Umeko gets, like, seriously injured, and, like, Senshine just, like, fucking hits Geki, because, like, it's your fault she got injured like this, because you're doing this all for your stupid revenge, blah, 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 blah. And, like, Geki gets, like, thrown in, like, space prison for, like, being, like, conjuring up, like, forging fake orders and stuff
yeah.
like that to, like, get the Deka Rangers to help.
Yep.
And then they, like, they all, the Deka Rangers all, like, gather and, like, Umeko comes back and they all, like, go to, like, rescue Geki out of jail. And then they're like, okay, we all need to work together to, like, stop them. And so it's like, okay, and then we figured out, oh, no, Umeko let Geki go chase after Cronin and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And, like, what's funny is, like, while, like, they're, like, Geki hangs out with, like, a couple of the Deka Rangers, like, by himself, and, like, they all keep saying, like, huh, you're a really reckless guy, huh? You remind me of someone we know, like Bon Bon, and he's like,
I've replaced your friend!
And he's like, stop fucking relating me to that guy. And it's like, no, they're relating you to Bon Bon of how he used to be.
Yeah. And he's actually, like, super matured up over the whole movie.
Like, we do get a little essence of, like, the old Bon Bon when, like, he looks up at Sophie in the camera and just kind of does this, like, little, like, peace victory sign, just going, ha-ha! And, like, we get a little bit of Bon Bon, which is awesome. But, yeah, no, he's really matured in, like, the 13 years since Deka Rangers. So, like, good for him. So he got a lot of character development.
We get to see a really awesome fight with the Deck Rangers, who immediately go SWAT mode during the dramatic Henshin.
Yeah, it was fucking awesome.
And I immediately remember how much I love the SWAT mode theme song.
Yeah, you do.
That shit is my jam right now.
Yup.
SWAT! Deck Ranger SWAT mode!
Yep.
I'm a terrible singer.
And they all, and like, it's great. Like, they're having trouble fighting Cronin, and then, like, Yumeka just does this thing where she just distracts him with this fucking dance. And
the fucking song she sings all the time that I hate!
I love it. I think it's adorable. And then just, yeah, they all, like, do, like, their, like, you know, their roll call, whatever, one at a time. And then just, like, they all defeat Cronin in a super awesome way with, like, their awesome attack. And, oh yeah, we get some Deca Master and Deca Break fighting together, and it was cool, because, like, they're fighting Mangala and whatever, and Deca Master, like, holds his own really fucking well, and I was impressed with that, because, like, I don't want just, like, he's the Mentor Ranger, I don't want to see him getting his ass kicked, because, like, he knows his shit, and we clearly saw in this movie that he knows his shit, and he can hold his own, so that was impressive. And then we cut to, like, Shelly being tied up, like, in front of Satan Goth, like, getting her power, and so apparently you need to, like, bloody her up or whatever like that to, like, get the blood transferred over to Satan Goth. So Lars just spouting all of his, like, religious bullshit and just beating the fucking shit out of her, like, so much. And I was like, dude, calm the fuck down. And it was, like, it was really, like, horrifying, because, like, we know her, Shelly's actor, from being Kodaha Shinken Yellow from Shinkenger, so we're just like, no, like, this is awful.
And then it gets worse when you realize that what Lars is doing is effectively building his own human Reaper from Mass Effect 2.
Yeah, like, we realize, I'm like, it's a fucking human Reaper. Oh my god. And so, yeah, they all show up, they all do, the Deck Rangers and Gavon show up, they do the transformation, and then they all, like, fight together, and blah, 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 and Gavon, like, fights Mad Gallant 101. And this, like, own personal dimension Mad Gallant has, which
takes
the form of an abandoned warehouse.
The Satan Goth Zone!
Yeah, and I'm like, alright,
wow, you guys really stayed up late writing that one.
And so they're fighting, and, like, Gavon gets his ass kicked, and then the original Gavon shows up and, like, gives him, yeah, his laser blade, and he's like, he's like, stop being a little bitch, you can do it, like, believe in yourself, blah, 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 like, and then we actually see, Retsu fighting, like, untransformed. It was really awesome, because,
yeah,
like, he's a suit actor, and he was a suit actor for Gavon.
He makes
too.
Some weird faces, but it's fun to watch.
Like, you do, you make weird faces when you're fighting.
Sure.
So, like, you ever seen Bruce Lee fight? Oh my god, the facial expressions that man has. And then, yeah, just Gavon kicks his ass with, like, this cool kind of, like, galactic
Gavon Uchu. Cosmic dynamic.
Yeah, and which it takes, like, the form of the symbol of, like, the space sheriffs, and then, like, fucking just, and it was cool, like, as, like, Gavon was, like, slashing at Mad Gallant, like, his armor, like, kept cracking and breaking, and it was, like, really nice effect.
I think that whole, like, he slashes him, it cracks. He slashes him, it cracks. He slashes him, it cracks. I think that went on a little too long.
Yeah, I still thought it was cool. And I liked, like, all the hits were, like, felt, like, you felt every single hit, because, like, every hit sounded really powerful. Like, when Geki always did, like, untransformed, did this really cool, like, axe kick. And I always, like, fucking seeing him do it, because it was cool. And he had, like, these
every
cool, like,
time
roundhouse kicks.
Every time he did the axe kick, I'm like, calm down, you're not Gills.
And so, yeah, he defeats Mad Gallant and, like, Lars, like, does he get destroyed?
No. Mad Gallant gets destroyed, but Lars, like, falls down, like, free.
Yeah.
Because apparently he was being influenced by the personality of the original Mad Gallant.
Yeah. So then we, like, the day is saved, and then, like, Shelly, Sophie tells, like, the Geki, like, oh, yeah, no, this was just all planned to, like, get you to,
me,
like,
and Bon Bon had this whole plan from the beginning.
And, like, you see Bon Bon talking to Sophie, and it's like, yeah, we need you to get that team that, like, I know really well. And she's like, oh, okay, the Akiba Rangers? And I was like, wait. Hey, did you say Akiba Ranger?
Itasawa! Tsuyasa! No, not those guys!
Which confirms Akiba Ranger is canon in the Deck Ranger universe.
Season 3! Do it!
I mean, yeah.
Or pull on Amazons and do a movie.
Oh, Keeper Ranger the movie. That's a movie.
The way that show's written, they can pull any number of excuses out of their ass to make more.
Exactly. And so, like, Geki, like, it's really cute between Geki and Shelly, where, like, Geki just goes to Shelly. He's like, alright, let's go. Let's go take missions. Oh, no, fuck that. I'm taking a desk job.
Working with you is dangerous.
Yeah, I almost died. So, and it's like, yeah, be careful. I'll kick your ass or whatever like that. And it's like, oh, you. And then, like, they go off to, like, finish the wedding, and then Senchan, like, gets, like, the runs or something, and then just Umeka gets so pissed off, like...
She's packing this time.
She brings out her gun and just starts firing at everyone on the at the wedding, and I'm just
I like... I want to have my wedding!
I'll kill all of you! Fuck this! And just, like, yeah, and it ends literally like that. And I'm, like... Honestly, this was a really fun movie. It was good. And, like, apparently this is the start of, like, the Space Squad, where we're gonna get, like, team-ups with different metal heroes and Sentai teams.
Because they mentioned to Geki that he has to pick among the metal heroes and Super Sentai to form the Space Squad.
Yes, so we get, like, Mega Silver, Denjiman, Five Man,
B-Fighter,
A.K.A.
the Beetleborg,
Jiraiya, the Sekai Ninja, the Shider and Sharivan. And I'm just like, cool!
It sounds like the start of a new franchise, which I'm looking forward to seeing more from.
Yeah, you know what? Because somehow, like, Metal Hero and Sentai works really well together. Honestly, Gavon vs. Decaranger showed that, like, these two franchises can really meld well together. Like, it's awesome.
You know what else was the best part about Gavon's final fight with Matt Gallant?
Mm-hmm.
The fact that it literally devolved into a lightsaber fight.
I mean, I was okay with that.
Which is yet another thing that we did this week that was related to Star Wars.
See how it all connects? Star Wars is a huge inspiration, guys. I enjoyed the hell out of this movie. I'm, like, sad not everyone else is here to, like, give their thoughts on the movie.
It's Scar's fault we're even doing this again.
He's not even here for it, bastard. I really liked it. What do you think, Ichi?
I liked it a lot. I don't really like Gavon too much, especially since all of his attacks are poorly named. Laser Z beam is not a Z nor a beam. Laser vision is not a laser or a vision. It's her turning into a bird.
He has like a spiral kick, and he doesn't even spiral when he does it.
Right.
I'm not a personal fan of like this Gavon because he's just like he's very like cocky and like you know super overhyped and like. Just I don't like his personality that much, but I love Shider. Like out of all three like space sheriffs, like Shider's my absolute favorite because he's just like he's silly and I love him.
Yeah.
So I think that's it.
All right. So I'm sure we mentioned it before, but we are actually going to be taking a 2-week break from Cast Ranger for the remainder of the year. So this will be the last episode of 2017. So we thank you all for your continued patronage and listening and watching to all of our content. For anyone who subscribes to our Patreon and pledges to us, we appreciate it more than you can ever know.
Which means the next episode we do in the new year, it's going to be a double episode. I'm excited.
At least.
Yeah, that's going to be fun. We need to try to get everyone together for that.
Yeah. So, in that spirit, Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays
yep.
to anyone listening. Have a crazy Kwanzaa, a Happy Hanukkah, a tip-top Tet, and a solemn, dignified Ramadan.
And remember, go see Star Wars The Last Jedi out in theaters now.
So, thank you guys for another excellent year of doing Cast Ranger. We'll see you in 2018, where hopefully we'll be even better. And hopefully we'll have more than two people.
Good afternoon, everybody!
Because we're recording this on Saturday.
Woo! Bye!
Radio Sentai Cast Ranger is brought to you by our generous patrons, Oliver Nilsson, and viewers like you.